You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Dan Solo, the founder of Second Line Advisors, a Manhattan-based executive search and human capital advisory firm specializing in the functions known as the second line of defense. His portfolio of work includes the hiring of executives for compliance, risk management, regulatory, financial crime, legal, internal audit, and data management roles for financial institutions ranging from banking to wealth and investment management, consumer finance, financial technology, insurance, ratings, and management consulting. Mr. Solo, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Great. Pleasure is mine.
So, Mr. Solo, how do you define workplace diversity? That's a great place to start today.
Sure. So, to put it simply, workplace diversity refers to the variety of differences between people in an organization. So important to point out is the concept of diversity is inclusive of acceptance and respect. It means understanding that each individual is unique and recognizing our individual differences. So if you think of diversity, there are differences in racial and ethnic and socioeconomic, geographic, academic, professional backgrounds, essentially people with different opinions, backgrounds, beliefs, whether they be religious or political, sexual orientations, heritage, life experience. I mean, the list sort of goes on, but, in most cases from a workplace perspective, this encompasses race, gender, ethnic, age, personality, cognitive style, organizational function, education, and more. So, at the end, it's essentially become pretty evident that it's important to have a diverse workplace for reasons which I'll get into, but one of which being business reputation. And the importance really drives down to the employees manifesting itself and building a great reputation for the company, which, in turn leads to increased profitability and opportunities for workers. So diversity is important, obviously within the organization, but as well as outside the organization.
And in what ways does diversity enhance the team and overall bottom line?
Sure. Well, more and more companies across broad industries have become aware that diversity in the workplace can be a material competitive advantage, especially a conduit to growth. But there's now actually hard data which we could actually look at that essentially proves that diversity can equal profits. There was an impressive study which was sort of built upon a couple times over, but was recently published by a consulting firm, McKinsey, that examined the sort of financial data of more than 1,000 major organizations across the Americas, so the U.S., Canada, and Latin America, and the United Kingdom. And the analysis found that companies with diverse executive teams posted bigger profit margins than their rivals. And some data points to share are, firstly, the companies in the top 25% of gender diversity were 15% more likely to have financial returns that were above their national industry average. And companies in the top 25% of racial or ethnic diversity were 35% more likely to have financial returns that were above their national industry average. On the contrary, companies in the bottom 25% for both gender and diversity, ethnic diversity, were statistically less likely to achieve above average returns. So an important sort of point identified in this is that the unequal performance across these different companies that were within the same industry and the same country implies that diversity is a differentiator for a company. Boiling down to the U.S., there continues to be a correlation, pretty direct correlation between ethnic and racial diversity and better financial performance. In fact, the study shows how diversity has a stronger impact on financial performance. Ethnic diversity has a stronger impact than gender does. Some of that has to do with how the diversity push for females over the last sort of decade plus has really gained some momentum. But what was learned from the study was that more diverse companies are better able to win top talent, to improve their positioning with customers, and drive up employee satisfaction, all of which sort of leads to a momentum of increasing returns. This suggests that diversity beyond gender and race, like diversity in age, sexual orientation, and diversity in experience, are also likely to bring some level of a competitive advantage for firms that are able to attract and retain diverse talent. So it's a great study that can be found on McKinsey's website, and it was built over the last, 6 to 7 years of data.
Now, from a recruiting standpoint, how can you make sure your team reflects its surrounding community?
Well, as an executive search firm, we clearly recognize when organizations are interested to continue to further their workforce diversity, regardless of the level of the position. An important driver in most cases is to capture talent which reflects the customers that the organization services. So to do this, there are a few bullets I could highlight. Firstly, developing a hiring strategy, simply saying, let's put out job postings and have someone, internally go out and hire someone. Isn't a strategy. Putting thought towards a methodology, an approach, a process, long-term pipelining are all important. Secondly, what could be an easy get, for employers, is to ask existing employees for referrals. Providing some sort of incentive to employees for successful hires is always nice. It's a good way to get people thinking, but obviously shouldn't be the driver. Next, reaching out to community organizations and universities to help find candidates could help to build foundation of talent at the early or sort of graduate level. And last, providing diversity training to employees and context as to why it's important does really help people think about it more and understand why it's important for each person and the company as a whole.
Today we are speaking with Mr. Dan Solo, the founder of Second Line Advisors, a Manhattan-based executive search and human capital advisory firm specializing in the functions known as a second line of defense, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. So, Mr. Solo, what considerations must go into retaining talent in a diverse, inclusive work setting?
Yeah, retaining talent is forever a challenge. But as you might see or hear about, for instance, in the technology sector today, the competitive nature of hiring in this millennial generation, perks and benefits are high on the strategy list of trying to both attract and retain good people. I have a friend at Twitter who worked previously at Yahoo, and he tells me about the endless improvements companies are making to their benefits to try and compete with one another, from unlimited vacation to unlimited maternity and paternity leave, to in-house restaurant quality dining for all three meals, and the list goes on and on. But aside from perks and benefits, promotions and various forms of recognition are clearly important and have always been the case. And certainly what high-performing or high-potential employees would appreciate. When these promotions or forms of recognition are done by the employer on their own volition is certainly when it's most meaningful, not when an employee expresses a certain level of frustration or is done in sort of a counter-offer type scenario. And believe me, we've come across those quite often. But, you know, I would say open communication is also very important. And that means a couple things. An open door policy by leadership, so people have the opportunity to interact with the top brass of the company. You know, this is truly meaningful and goes a long way. Secondly, open and easy access at the level below, at the manager-employee level. So employees could always have the opportunity to offer ideas and ask questions, and, you know, establishes a culture which encourages employees to speak frankly with their managers without fear of repercussion. You know, truly brings people closer and likely to a next level of relationship. You know, people could, you know, people should know what's expected of them, and it's important for employees to have a grasp of what that is, and it be articulated clearly by leadership and managers, which is oftentimes a challenge for leadership. So, aside from staying competitive on benefits and comp, you know, flexible work arrangements are also part of the equation these days, which, depending upon the company, may have an important mutual benefit. Lastly, I would say, depending upon the size of an organization, arranging mentorship programs for employees as well as affinity groups could help the stick rate, if you will. These affinity type groups help to gather people with shared backgrounds, goals, or interests, and are formed without any management input. They often, you know, oftentimes they really help employees know that they're not alone and provide, you know, education to sort of the wider workplace, and, you know, oftentimes leading to different mentoring situations. So, you know, when the company sends support around these types of groups, it sends a clear message that the employer celebrates diversity rather than, you know, simply tolerating it.
Well, Mr. Solo, it certainly has been good to have had you, and this is such helpful information on today's topic per your expertise. Lastly, how else can employers build a dynamic team?
Well, having the right people with complementary skills is obvious in terms of having a strong and functional team. But having a dynamic team, seems like your question, is truly a team where people have relationships with one another and establish a level of working trust to support each other. So, you know, with the right team needs to be the right leader, and the right leader in place to drive the team is someone who promotes open communication, like we talked about before, and a platform to express diverse thoughts and approaches to various things that go on, you know, in business activities. So, you know, spending time in and out of the office, I think, is important. Though, as I mentioned earlier about some of these technology companies, creating a work environment that's engaging and really enhances, you know, really enhances the chance of getting the best out of someone as soon as they walk through the door. But relationships, you know, really drive the elements, the soft sort of elements of a highly functional and dynamic team.
Good stuff here, Mr. Solo. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a final word or a thought, anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I think everyone should definitely check out this McKinsey study. It really is some hard data that I think could lead to people understanding how important diversity is today at the workplace level and digesting how each organization can think about planting roots to become more diverse over time. You know, it's never too late to start that. So thank you so much for your time today, Eric.
And you're more than welcome, and we certainly don't want to let you get out of here before we can get further information on Second Line Advisors. Where can we find more information online?
Yeah, sure. Our website is secondlineadvisors.com. We're located here in New York, in Midtown Manhattan, but are a national search firm, and predominantly do a lot of work for the financial services and related sector. But we have built a relationship of trust with our clients and partnerships. So appreciate you providing us with the time to share some insight in the important topic of diversity.
And you're certainly more than welcome. It has been our pleasure. Mr. Solo, thanks again for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you all the best.
Have a great day. Thanks so much.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Dan Solo, the founder of Second Line Advisors, a Manhattan-based executive search and human capital advisory firm specializing in the functions known as the Second Line of Defense. And for further details and to learn more, visit secondlineadvisors.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with an app coming to accompany our live stream. In the coming weeks, you can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.